chapter 9. While you're turning there, I'll remind you, just we've talked to some folks on the phone today, and I think there's a little bit of a bug going around with a few folks, and so remember these, and I'm going to tell you what, I don't know if I'm getting a bug or if them chicken wings wasn't fit for human consumption. I'm still not decided yet if it was the food or me, but Carolyn did a good job cooking them, but I'm just not sure about the wings before they made it to the pan, amen? They're still at the court. I can't ever complain about Carolyn's cooking, but once in a while you get a hold of something, you're just not sure if it was what it was supposed to be. But I think somebody should have prayed for that chicken before I eat it. I might have needed to say the blessing a little harder. But I mentioned that, and I was watching Mary Beth sing up here, and I pick on her all the time, but she got an infection or something in her ribs, and she's in a lot of pain, and she's probably feeling when she's singing. But keep Mary Beth in your prayer, because they have to sing a lot, and when you sing the high notes, you have to breathe just a little bit harder, take a little bit deeper breath. But I wouldn't embarrass her for nothing. I don't like requesting prayer for myself, but do pray for her. Keep that in mind, and pray God's hand a bit. I'm embarrassed. There wasn't no way to do it without embarrassing Mary Beth. But you're doing good. If I keep looking at her, her face will turn red. She might have been laughing at me. All right. Amen. Mark, Luke chapter 9. If you found that, stand, and we'll read verse 23 through 26 and try to give a few truths from the Word of God tonight. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 to 26. The Bible says, "And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory, and in his Father's, and in the holy angels." Let's pray. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for these good songs that have been sung. And we praise you for the good truth of what you've done. Lord, I pray you'd help us as we enter into the Word of God tonight. Lord, I don't want to miss praying for Pastor Stewart as we're at this moment. I pray you'd help him. God, I know the desire of his heart is to be in this place tonight. And I pray, God, you'd just help him and strengthen him and lift him up. But Lord, I pray you'd help us. I pray that you'd just speak through me tonight. God, as I've studied these things today and even challenged my own heart with these truths, God, I want to be closer to you. I want to be more what you'd have me to be. And I pray, God, that you'd continue to work and establish these things in my heart. But I pray, God, you'd speak to the hearts of your people tonight. I'm glad, God, that you're not limited to me. I'm glad that your word's not limited to me. I'm glad you can take these scriptures tonight and you can speak to hearts in a lot of different directions tonight. And I praise you for that. I pray, God, you'd help me. I pray you'd endue me with power from on high as I stand before your people tonight. And Lord, you'd speak to hearts. And Lord, you know the need of each of these individuals. You know the struggles that folks have gone through today. Lord, who knows besides you what they faced at work today, the battles they may face with their family or even their health. God, you know all about it. And Lord, you know how the devil's fought and oppressed. I pray, God, you just help and encourage your people tonight. God, I pray you just continue to touch our church. Let your power be upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. If you look in verse 23, there's a phrase there. He said, if any man will come after me. Now, you think about that word, come after me. That just means to come behind and follow close. That's similar to the word disciple. And we pull this word, this verse a lot of times and use it to preach about discipleship. But what a disciple actually does is get with somebody, adhere to their teaching and learn to their teaching, and they just kind of stick with them. And I was looking at this passage today and I was thinking about sticking with it. I remember hearing a word a while ago, and I won't ask anybody to stand up and spell this, but it's stick-to-itiveness. You ever heard that before? We need some stick-to-itiveness. I wish I had a little bit more about projects around the house. I've got several unfinished things. Don't say amen, Carolyn. Some things I just need to finish up. A few spots I need to paint some trim, set a few nails around some border where we did actually get the floor down this summer. But a few little things I need to finish. But, you know, when it comes to the things of God, we need to have some stick-to-itiveness. Wish I could go back and look at everybody I started out with. Tell you those young men that preached with me and sang with me, I wish I could tell you that they were all still in the race tonight.
I went back into Lenore Monday night and preached at a men's meeting at the church I came out of before I came down here. Had a good time, and I wish I could tell you that everybody that was there when I left was still there last night. The problem is people just don't tend to stick to it. And I want to talk to you about sticking to it tonight. I was going to give you 3 points tonight in the introduction, but my introduction got so long I just figured I'd make it point one. And just give you 2 points with several sub-points tonight. I want to talk first of all why people don't stick with it. I want to read verses 24 through 26 to you again. He said, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and his Father's and in the holy angels." Now, don't get confused as we go through this scripture tonight. There's choices that men make in this life. The first choice that you're going to make as you, before you get saved, is you're going to choose heaven or hell. And I hope that everyone in this room tonight has got their eternal destination squared away. I'm glad that Jesus made the way that we can get to heaven. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." I'm glad that God instigated in my heart when the Spirit of God came by my way, dealt with me, revealed to me I was a sinner, gave me faith to trust the truth, and gave me the grace to give my heart to them. That was the day I chose between heaven and hell. But there's another choice, and that's what we're going to be zeroing in on. There's a choice of earth or heaven. And we'll talk about that a little bit more. But think about heaven or earth. Why do some people not stick to it? I guess the first reason would be because, obviously, because they're never really truly begin with us. They never actually get with it. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, says they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not at all of us. I heard Lester Roloff preaching on this verse on the radio the other day in 1 John 1, 6. It says, "If we say they have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." Now, I don't mean to be a prophet of doom, but it's quite obvious not everybody that says they're a Christian is a Christian. And a lot of times why people get out is because they never got in to begin with. And I trust that you've got settled in your heart. I'm glad that we have the promise, one, that you can know that you're saved. And I'm glad to have the promise that you stay saved. He said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." I'm glad that part's settled. But some people don't stick with it because they never got it. You remember the story of the seed. Some fell by the wayside. Some fell on stony ground. Some fell and were choked among the thorns. But others fell on good ground. Sometimes that's the case, and that is what happens. But another reason, I guess the reasons I want to get at why people don't stick with it, first would be a faulty perspective. I read verses 24 and 25 just moments ago, but the problem is they only see the temporal. They only look at this life and what's happening now, and it's awful easy. So much of what we do and think is occupied by surviving here. I mean, we've all got to make a living. We've all got to have income. We've all got to pay the power bill. We've all got to put groceries on the table and clothes on the back. So it's awful easy to get sidetracked and just looking for those things and living for now. But don't let it bog you down. Don't let that be the thing that dominates you. Don't let that be number one. And when Jesus is talking to these disciples, there's one disciple that comes to mind. This could be a place where the rubber really met the road with Judas Iscariot, because Judas Iscariot had a love for things. He had a love for money. Anytime something good happened, when that lady came and anointed Jesus with that oil and honored the Lord and blessed the Lord, Judas' response was, "This money could have been used for something else or something better." He had his eyes on the carnal. It's awful easy sometimes to get caught up and going to work, but keep the eyes on Jesus. This life is temporal. We're just passing through. We're just strange. We're just pilgrims. This is not our home. But a faulty perspective sometimes will cause some people not to stick to it. But another reason, I believe sometimes people just get full of pride. We see the word of shame show up in these verses. He said, "Whosoever should be ashamed of me and my words." He talked about that. What does that word ashamed mean? Ashamed means being embarrassed. Have you ever been embarrassed? I was looking on the internet this morning on Yahoo, and they were showing a football play where a guy really messed up. It happened to be for the Wofford Terriers here. They were playing in the FBS playoffs. They had a first-round bye. They were playing Northern Iowa. The game was still in play. They still had opportunity to win the game. Northern Iowa kicked the ball off. The receiver for Wofford caught the ball in the end zone. They were coming back, and he just stood there. I don't know if he thought that he'd called a fair catch, but he didn't call a fair catch. He just stood there. The Northern Iowa players came by. One bumped him. He looks at the ref like the guy's crazy. Next guy slaps the ball out of his hand in the end zone, falls on it. Northern Iowa gets a touchdown because he never downed the ball. He never called a fair catch. Man, they kept the camera on that poor old boy walking to the sidelines. He had to face all of his teammates. He had to face his coach. There wasn't a big enough hole for him to crawl in and hit in because he was so embarrassed. And sometimes folks get embarrassed. The sad thing is we can get embarrassed about the things of God. It's a shame. It's an embarrassment to us as children of God that we can get embarrassed when it comes time we're in a place when we could just pull a gospel track out of our pocket and put it in somebody's hand. Why don't we do that? We're not afraid. We're embarrassed. I want to tell you something, child of God. We've got to get past that. I remember as a teenage boy, I remember hearing the preacher talk sometimes what we need, and that there is a good case that I don't care. I don't care what you think. Sometimes we don't care what people think when we go to sinning. We sure do care what people think when we go to doing right. Ain't that true, Brother Ronnie? But I want to remind you, Paul's desire of his heart was not to be ashamed. Remember this thing about pride. Pride is the problem. Proverbs 11:2 said, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. So if you're getting embarrassed, it might be that there's a pride problem. Paul said this, testified in Romans 1:16, he said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Boy, I hope that's your testimony tonight. I ain't one bit embarrassed about the gospel. Can you say that tonight? He said in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2, in prison, and had been beaten, had been forsaken. He said in chapter 2, 2 Timothy 1, verse 12, for the which cause I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. Can we say that about Paul? I believe if Paul preached in our church one night and he went back to the back door and he signed Bibles and you had Apostle Paul sign your Bible, I believe he'd write Philippians 1:20 in there. He said, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I would be ashamed. But he wanted to manifest Christ and he wanted to magnify God. May we have that boldness. What happens though? We get a little embarrassed. What are people going to think about us when we live right? What are people going to think about us when they come up by my car and I'm not listening to the bebop and I've got some good gospel music playing? I'm going to get embarrassed when my family dresses right. I'm going to get embarrassed when we try to do right. Don't be ashamed. They're going to get embarrassed when I bring up the name of Jesus. It's not popular in this holiday season to say Christmas. They want to say happy holidays. They want to cross Jesus out of Christmas. But let me just let this be a motivation to you tonight. Don't take Christ out of Christmas. Don't be ashamed of Him. You pray in public. You pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't be ashamed to be associated with Him. People fall aside because they're embarrassed. They're ashamed. They're full of pride. That's what it goes back to. But another thing I want to mention here, why they don't stick to it, is they forget the promise. Look at verse 26, the last part of that verse. It says, and when He shall come in His own glory. Now notice it didn't say if He would come or should He come, but it says when. So that tells me it's definitely going to take place. That means Jesus is coming. They have a faulty perspective. They're full of pride, but they forget that promise. Can I tell you something tonight? Jesus is coming. Now I know on one hand, that excites us. But there's another aspect of that. It warns us to be ready and to be prepared. 1 John 2:28 says this, and now little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. Boy, I don't want to be embarrassed when Jesus comes around. I talked about that football player a while ago. There was all these people in the stands, but I want to tell you what, there's one person in particular in that stadium that he didn't want to face. He did not want to have to walk over there and face Coach Ayers. with that blunder he had made. I mean, I don't know how long I've been in college, but guys just don't start playing football in college. He's probably played peewee football. He's played high school football. And, I mean, that's the 12th game of the season. He's been doing that all season long. He's got experience. And just because he wasn't thinking, he messed up and he had to face his boss. Now, I want to remind you, child of God, we're going to face it. You know why people back out, why they don't stick to it? They lose sight of that. Eat, drink, for tomorrow we die. I want to remind you, you're going to answer. I'm going to answer for not sticking to it. I want to answer for not being faithful. But I want to tell you what, if you'll keep that on your mind tonight, if you'll keep that perspective before you that Jesus could come at any moment. He said, 1 John admonished us in chapter 3. He said, beloved, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. And he said, and every man that hath this hope purifieth himself, even as he is pure. I want to tell you what. The hope of the second coming promotes purity, and it promotes faith, and it promotes victory. Amen? So if you want to stick to it, you better be careful. Watch your perspective, watch your pride, and wait for that promise. Now, what does it take to stick to it? What does it take tonight? Look at verse 23 again. If you mark in your Bible, I think you might underline this Bible, maybe commit it to memory. He said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Let me mention three or four things about this verse. If you're going to stick with it, number one, it's going to take some denial. He said, let him deny himself. As a child of God, you've got to realize something. You've got to give up the rights of ownership to yourself. He told us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your spirit, which are God's. Ye are not your own, you're bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 7, 23 says, ye are bought with a price, be not the servants of men. Well, how did you get bought? How did I get bought? Do you remember? You realize when Jesus laid down his life on Calvary, he bought back what sin had destroyed and the relationship that sin had destroyed. He paid the sin debt and bought us back off the auction block of sin. I'm glad when I got saved, I became his servant. I became his son. He became my big brother. Amen? But I'm glad of that tonight. But I remind you, I need to die to me. I need to give up all rights to my life and surrender it and submit it to him. Because, boy, as long as Tim's controlling. See, we got these little slogans we put out. God is my co-pilot. Boy, somebody needs to toss that. Because if you're in the driver's seat, you got problems. Boy, God needs to be the pilot. I don't even need to be the navigator, brother. I just need to go till he opens the door and drops me out and do what he tells me to do. But it's going to take some denial of self. Now, I know this overlaps just a little bit. But he said, let him deny himself. And then he said, take up his cross. It takes a death. Now, I'm not talking about going out and shooting yourself in the head or somebody running over with your car. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about dying out to self. In verse 22, Jesus foretold. He said this. He said, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. He's telling what's going to happen to him. He's foretelling of his suffering. And he's warning them. He said, I'm going to suffer. You're going to suffer. I'm going to have a cross. You're going to take up a cross. He said, take up his cross. Now, when you think about taking up a cross, it means to deliberately and willingly enter into a path of obedience regardless of what the consequences and regardless of what it is that he wants you to do. It's a matter of surrendering and submitting yourself to God. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. So many of you probably quote this. I could probably pop somebody, point at somebody and you stand up and quote it. Paul said, I beseech you therefore by the mercies of God that you present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which are reasonable service. All it is by faith submit and surrender yourself to God and say, not my will, like Jesus did in the garden, but your will be done. Sometimes that cross is a matter of identification. in that time of Roman rule, that talking of a crucifixion and the cross was not a good thought. That was the cruelest form of death that a man can take on. Jesus asked us to take up and carry our cross. And I encourage you, take up your cross. Follow Jesus. Find your place. Find your place in the army of the Lord and follow Him and be faithful to Him. But then he went on to say daily, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily. It takes dedication. It's a daily activity. There's many people that think it's just a Sunday morning or a Sunday night activity or a Wednesday night activity as long as something's going on up church. But I want to remind you, it's a personal activity that goes on every day in your life. It calls for faithfulness. Now, I mentioned a while ago, he's mentioned dying on the cross. Here in verse 26, he alludes to his coming. In light of his coming, we're admonished in 1 Corinthians 15:58. He said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always, every day. I mean, we ought to think about excelling at something and being dedicated to something. What are you dedicated to? What is it that you're giving your best to? There's not a lot of things that take a lifelong commitment, but your marriage takes lifelong dedication. Your children take sort of a lifelong dedication as long as they'll last you. Amen? But this thing of being a child of God takes a dedication. I think of things that we can be dedicated to. Last fall, I coached basketball, and I had to dedicate myself to that. Man, every evening I was at the school. I was coaching ball. We were practicing. And if we wanted to win, we had to learn plays. We had to work on fundamentals. We had to work on footwork. We had to work on defense. We had to work on shooting the ball. We had to work on listening. We had to work on just being in shape. And we had to dedicate ourselves to that. And we had our ups and downs, but towards the end of the season, it began to tell on us that we had dedicated ourselves to that. I think about even going to school. There's people here going to college. If you want to make good grades, you've got to dedicate yourself to that. You just don't work on it at school. You go home. You get the books. You research on the computer. You write the papers. You memorize. You labor for that. Some of you have a job. There's some of you, you wouldn't have a job if you weren't dedicated to it. You're dedicated to it enough that when the alarm clock goes off, you shut her off. You get up and you go to work every morning. If you don't, there's going to be no success in that. It's no different with the things of God. You wonder, well, where's my blessing? Why don't I feel the Lord? Why is God not using me? Why do I feel so powerless? He said daily, be faithful. Be faithful. Be dedicated to eating regularly. Be dedicated daily to exercising. Be dedicated daily to sharing what God's done for you. I want to encourage your friend, it takes dedication. This is the day of the least commitment. Nobody wants to pay any kind of price. I've got someone that's going, I can't do it this night. I can't do it that night. Whatever happened when it came down to the house of God that you shut everything else down and give it priority? Whatever happened to your relationship with the Lord when that was the most important thing? Well, I read my Bible if nothing else comes up. I'll pray if my show's a rerun tonight. I'll witness to them if everything just falls into place. I want to tell you, I believe when they set a face like a flint, that's what Jesus did towards Calvary. His entire life was dedicated and being pointed towards Calvary. Our entire life needs to be dedicated to running the race for God. So we can say like Paul did one day, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished the course. Boy, if you're going to finish well, you've got to run well. But it takes some dedication. But then he said lastly, that verse one more time. He said, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. It takes devotion. The key in this passage as we read this is in verse 24. He said, for my name's sake. It's all about Jesus, friend. A lot of times we hook it up to all about us, but it takes devotion. He said, follow me. Follow me. Devotion. Follow me, he said. You know why? How or why could we be devoted to him? One, I want to say because he's worthy to be devoted to. 1 Peter 2:7, unto you, therefore which believe, he's precious. It's awful easy to get caught up in the benefits of him. Boy, we go to church to, or we look, what about this? We look forward to the Lord coming because we're getting out of here. But boy, if we've got it in the right perspective, it's not about getting out of here. It's about seeing Him. When we've got it in the right perspective, when we go to pray, it's not about getting a prayer answered. It's about meeting the Lord. When we go to church, it's not about getting through the motions, but all my, it's about having an encounter with God. We get the wrong perspective sometimes, but I want to remind you, we need to be devoted to Him just because He's worthy. He's worthy tonight. Do you realize this? God's good. God's good. Peter, when 1 and 2 Peter was written, it started off right to those that were scattered abroad. Do you know why they were scattered? Because persecution was in full bloom. In the middle of that persecution, these apostles were having to run and hide as much as they could to keep. That's why Paul went town to town. Man, some men decided they were going to kill him one night, and they set him over the wall in a basket so he could survive to preach another day. But in the midst of that, as rough as it was, Peter said to them that know him, to them that believe in him, as bleak as it is, he's precious. Yeah, I'm going to tell you something. I know it's 2011. I know it seems like everything in the world's against us. Our free speech, our rights as Christian. Boy, it's all right to badmouth Christians. It's all right to badmouth Jesus. Can't even say His name in public. But boy, don't you talk about some of these Eastern pagan religions. Don't you talk about the homosexuals. Boy, don't you infringe on their rights. And boy, that's a little gloomy. But in the midst of all that, He's still precious. And He's still good. If you're going to stick with it, you need to deny self. You need to die to self. You need to just be dedicated to Jesus. You know, I was thinking about this. Who exactly was Jesus talking to? Sometimes I need to say something to the choir. But the problem is, the ones that need to hear it ain't up here when I need to say it to them. So that's where they get the expression, preaching to the choir. But I want to remind you, well, who do I need to say this to do tonight? Hey, it'd be good. If some of these Sunday morning worship hour Christians that visit us once a week would understand this thing about sticking to it and getting with it. But you know what he's saying in verse 23? He said to them all, if any man. How's your stick-to-itiveness tonight? Are you having trouble sticking to it? Boy, I've been preaching a while. I've been saved since 86. And sometimes I've just got to go back and say, Lord, something's just amiss in my heart. I'm losing the desire. I'm losing the burden. And God, it's me. It's a heart problem. It's everything that comes out and spews out. It's a problem in my heart. And Lord, I need to stick to it. I need to get a little devoted. Are you sticking with it tonight? He said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Let's stick with now. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Brother Jeff, how about you help me out tonight and get a song of invitation while these fellows are coming? I appreciate your attention tonight. Appreciate you listening. I tell you what, this thing's real of serving the Lord. And it does have demands with it. But I want to tell you, for every demand, there's a double blessing. We live so below our means. We live in misery because we're not submitted to God. It becomes a drudgery to us because it's not what we're dedicated to, what we're devoted to. But I encourage you now, we're going to have a word of prayer. If God spoke to your heart, you come. If you need to get close to the Lord, you come. And I say this always when I preach. Sometimes you don't feel it. But boy, you need to feel it. God, let me want it more. Lord, let me desire it more. And I believe you ask Him that, He'll do it. He said, if you're drawing nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. Father, I thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the truth of the Word of God. I pray, God, that you've spoken to hearts tonight. Lord, I pray that you just take what's said tonight. Lord, it may be if there's someone here tonight that's never been saved. I pray the Spirit of God's dealt with their heart. I pray you'd encourage your people. God, give us that desire. Give us that hunger to want to know more and be closer to you. Help us, God, just to stick with it. Lord, I've seen too many walk out the doors. Too many walk the other way. God, I'd like to finish the race, God, with these that are with us now. Well, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.